Thomas pushed aside the swelling panic and set himself to work. He grabbed one of the vines and wrapped it around Albie's right arm. The plant would only reach so far, so he had to prop Albie up as much as he could to make it work. After several wraps, he tied the vine off. Then he took another vine and put it around Albie's left arm, then both of his legs, tying each one tightly. He worried about the glider's circulation getting cut off, but decided it was worth the risk. Trying to ignore the doubt that was seeping into his mind about the plan, Thomas continued on. Now it was his turn. He snatched a vine with both hands and started to climb, directly over the spot where he'd just tied up Albie. The thick leaves of the ivy served well as handholds, and Thomas was elated to find that the many cracks in the stone wall were perfect supports for his feet as he climbed. He began to think how easy it would be without... He refused to finish the thought. He couldn't leave Albie behind. Once he reached a point a couple of feet above his friend, Thomas wrapped one of the vines around his own chest, around and around several times, snug against his armpits for support. Slowly, he let himself sag, letting go with his hands but keeping his feet planted firmly in a large crack. Relief filled him when the vine held. Now came the really hard part. The four vines tied to Albie below hung tautly around him. Thomas took hold of the one attached to Albie's left leg and pulled. He was only able to get it up a few inches before letting go. The weight was too much. He couldn't do it. He climbed back down to the maze floor, decided to try pushing from below instead of pulling from above. To test it, he tried raising Albie only a couple of feet, limb by limb. First, he pushed the left leg up, then tied a new vine around it, then the right leg. When both were secure, Thomas did the same to Albie's arms, right, then left. He stepped back, panting, to take a look. Albie hung there, seemingly lifeless, now 3 feet higher than he'd been 5 minutes earlier. Clangs from the maze, whirs, buzzes, moans. Thomas thought he saw a couple of red flashes to his left. The grievers were getting closer, and it was now obvious that there were more than one. He got back to work, using the same method of pushing each of Albie's arms and legs up 2 or 3 feet at a time. Thomas slowly made his way up the stone wall. He climbed until he was right below the body, wrapped a vine around his own chest for support, then pushed Albie up as far as he could, limb by limb, and tied them off with ivy. Then he repeated the whole process. Climb, wrap, push up, tie off. Climb, wrap, push up, tie off. The grievers at least seemed to be moving slowly through the maze, giving him time. Over and over, little by little, up they went. The effort was exhausting. Thomas heaved in every breath, felt sweat cover every inch of his skin. His hands began to slip and slide on the vines. His feet ached from pressing into the stone cracks. The sounds grew louder. The awful, awful sounds. Still, Thomas worked. When they'd reached a spot about 30 feet off the ground, Thomas stopped, swaying on the vine he'd tied around his chest. Using his drained, rubbery arms, he turned himself around to face the maze. An exhaustion he'd not known possible filled every tiny particle of his body. He ached with weariness. His muscles screamed. He couldn't push Albie up another inch. He was done. This was where they'd hide, or make their stand. He'd known they couldn't reach the top. He only hoped the grievers couldn't or wouldn't look above them. Or at the very least, Thomas hoped he could fight them off from high up, one by one, instead of being overwhelmed on the ground. He had no idea what to expect. He didn't know if he'd see tomorrow. But here, hanging in the ivy, Thomas and Albie would meet their fate. A few minutes passed before Thomas saw the first glimmer of light shine off the maze walls up ahead. The terrible sounds he'd heard escalate for the last hour took on a high-pitched mechanical squeal, like a robotic death yell. A red light to his left on the wall caught his attention. He turned and almost screamed out loud. A beetle blade was only a few inches from him, its spindly legs poking through the ivy and somehow sticking to the stone. The red light of its eye was like a little sun, too bright to look at directly. Thomas squinted and tried to focus on the beetle's body. The torso was a silver cylinder, maybe 3 inches in diameter and 10 inches long. 12 jointed legs ran along the length of its bottom, spread out, making the thing look like a sleeping lizard. The head was impossible to see because of the red beam of light shining right at him, though it seemed small, vision its only purpose, perhaps. But then Thomas saw the most chilling part. He thought he'd seen it before, back in the glade when the beetle blade had scooted past him and into the woods. Now it was confirmed. The red light from its eye cast a creepy glow on 6 capital letters smeared across the torso, as if they had been written with blood. Wicked. Thomas couldn't imagine why that one word would be stamped on the beetle blade, unless for the purpose of announcing to the gladers that it was evil. Wicked. He knew it had to be a spy for whoever had sent them here. Albie had told him as much, saying the beetles were how the creators watched them. Thomas stilled himself, held his breath, hoping that maybe the beetle only detected movement. Long seconds passed, his lungs screaming for air. With a click and then a clack, the beetle turned and scuttled off, disappearing into the ivy. Thomas sucked in a huge gulp of air, then another, feeling the pinch of the vines tied around his chest. Another mechanical squeal screeched through the maze, close now, followed by the surge of revved machinery. Thomas tried to imitate Albie's lifeless body, hanging limp in the vines. And then something rounded the corner up ahead and came toward them. Something he'd seen before, but through the safety of thick glass. Something unspeakable. A griever.